because Friday in Detroit was so ugly and so grotesque, it did feel like, for a lot of Knicks fans, yesterday's game in Boston had a level of importance that's maybe a little bit higher than your normal February game. And to their credit, they responded.
This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ Precision Cooking. Effortless results. ChefIQ.com. Yes, Evan, while we were preparing all these Super Bowl snacks, the Knicks were embarrassing the Celtics for one of two Boston embarrassments on the day. 111-89 yesterday afternoon. Jalen Brunson with 30 points and 8 assists, while Josh Hart added 19 points. Boston was incredibly 7 for 41 from 3. It was a terrible shooting day, and their 5-game win streak was snapped. This Fan Focus was sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to define what happened in this game. You know, 7 for 41 kind of reminds you of what happened in the postseason. And even shooting from 2 was a failure as well. They were 37% from the field. They were 17% from 3. They had an awful, awful shooting day. And some of that is bad shooting. Some of that is good defense by the New York Knicks. So it's easy to say, hey, look, the Knicks just had a better game.
Yep.
It happens. I'm about to play for you something that is not satire. This is real. This is from Boston. This is a post-game Celtics analysis over what happened with their loss to the New York Knicks. And I heard from these Boston Celtic fans / reporters, or whatever they're called, two excuses for why the Celtics lost this game. And I got to tell you, one is better than the other. So ladies and gentlemen, excuse number one.
By the way, this team has not played a game all season before 3:30 in whatever time zone they were in. Today, this tip-off was at 12:30.
Are you kidding? I'm not kidding. Would you like the second one? Because I think the second one may be worse.
Wow.
So the first one is the start time.
Yeah.
It's early. They've never played a game this season local time prior to 3:30, and they started this game at 12:30. Ladies and gentlemen, from our friends up in Boston, it's actually the Patriots' fault.
Today, I was stunned by how many New York license plates I saw on the pike. And I was like,
coming up 84.
What I think it is all the Knicks fans saw and said, well, they're going to the Super Bowl, so all the Patriots fans were going to sell their tickets today. And then so they just invaded the Garden. And it felt like if you weren't wearing a Drake May jersey, you had a Brunson jersey. And there was like some Knicks fans right next to the bench all dolled up. It's like, man.
Was that true? I mean, it sounded like there were a lot of Knicks fans there.
I mean, were there?
Yeah, there were a good amount. How about those two excuses?
Bang! Bang!
We've got the start time. There's a lot of Knicks fans there because of the Super Bowl. By the way, there were a lot of Knicks fans there. Do you think that's the reason they were 7 for 41 from 3? Do you think that's the reason they got their asses kicked by the
like
Knicks?
Like an away game, even though they were at home?
Do we really
there
think that's...
There was no energy?
That's the reason?
I don't think that's the reason. I think that's just bad shooting and good defense, as you mentioned, but... You can't blame the fans. Basically, you're blaming your fans for not being there.
Yeah. I heard that the reason the Patriots lost is they were so bothered by the Celtics shooting earlier in the day. That probably played a big role.
Oh, we're doomed.
So not only, Knicks fans, did you get a nice victory against a rival, a team that you hate, you literally have broken their fan base.
I hope that they also said our team sucked.
Yeah, I didn't hear that part.
We were terrible. Like, we couldn't make shots if we were standing right next to the basket type of critique. Because that's what we would do.
Yeah.
That's what New Yorkers would do.
We wouldn't blame the
Why did we get blown out by the Boston Celtics? Because we sucked today. That's why. I mean, just call it for what it is. And it's a regular season game, so who the hell cares?
Look, that game actually, I would argue, is more important than the Knicks-Pistons game because the reality is it's going to be an uphill battle for the Knicks to get the number one seed. They've created a massive hole. Obviously, the tiebreaker's in Detroit's hands, and they're far behind.
Yeah, but they had also played a double overtime game against the Denver Nuggets a couple days before.
I understand.
And I told you, Sean, put every dime you had on the Pistons, and you didn't do it.
Yeah, instead I went under Kenneth Walker rushing yards.
But the point is, like, that game, even if the Knicks had won, like, it would have made you feel better, but it wasn't going to make a difference in the standings. That game yesterday could make a difference in the standings. The Knicks and Celtics are very tight. Every game matters. The 2 seed and the 3 seed, I do think, has a big difference. It could be the difference between playing Philadelphia in the first round versus playing a team coming off of the play-in, and also home court advantage. So I would certainly argue that yesterday's game just had more standings meanings than the game against Detroit. Now, I give the Pistons a lot of credit because I know I gave them crap, was it a few months ago, cute little team, all that. I'm still very skeptical. I don't think they're coming out of the East, but I will also proceed to give them tons of credit. They're playing great, and they whipped the Knicks' ass. Like, there's nothing more they can do in this regular season than what they're already doing. My skepticism about them, and this is backed up by NBA history, is that usually you need to kind of crawl before you run. They haven't won a round yet with this core. And so I just wonder if they're now ready, even as a one seed, to just go shoot through the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the thing you look at, and I look at different things, stats, obviously, you look at home road record. That's what jumps out with the Pistons, that they're good on the road. Mm. They're as good on the road as they are at home.
Remember what happened in the playoffs last year? They won at the Garden. They couldn't win at home.
That's right.
Yeah.
Forget what excuse the Detroit media made.
They didn't make an excuse.
No, I feel like they did.
Those are losers in Boston making excuses. What was it, start times?
No, I just feel like there was some excuse that happened in Detroit, like why they couldn't win at home.
Well, it's because home court, as you've talked about before, it just doesn't mean as much as it used to.
No.
Now, I still understand wanting it as a fan, which is what I brought up in the whole Knicks Celtic thing. Like, you still prefer it, especially if you're a season ticket holder and you get that extra game you can sell. Or the extra game you could go to. I apologize. But at the end of the day, it doesn't feel like home court matters as much as it used to. Anyhow, great excuses by our friends up in Boston. I'm curious their excuse for getting their ass kicked by the Seattle Seahawks. Mm. Speaking of which, back to your calls on this Super Bowl, 888-808-1019. Mike is in Bayside. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I got a couple of things. I could care less about the Sandler thing, and if you want to let me make a point about Kalshi, I will. Just my experience. But my point about the game, I asked both of you guys this, is at some point, I was like, why not put Josh Dobbs in for one series? Mm. Just to see. And then also Will Campbell. Take him out.
Yeah.
He was getting steamrolled at least 15 times.
Yeah, he gave
up. I mean, I don't care that they're young. Yeah, go ahead, guys.
No, I was going to say, he gave up a ton of pressures in this game. Ultimately, only, I think, one sack?
Yeah.
Or maybe two? One or two sacks, but he gave up 14, 15? Yeah. What was the stat you told me?
It was 14 pressures, the most that any lineman had given up in an NFL game all season.
Wow.
Wow.
And now, look, he's a rookie, and it's the Super Bowl, and you're going up against a really good defensive line that does a lot of different zone blitzes, all these kind of extra pressures, etc. So you can be forgiven, even though it's a stage where you don't want to have to be forgiven.
I also wonder, and this is me obviously not watching every Patriots game and knowing their depth chart at the offensive line, if you're truly better off benching a starter bad as he's playing.
No, he was their best option.
Right. Now, the quarterback, same thing. Because we had this discussion around C.J. Stroud a couple of weeks ago when he was struggling. Like, hey, was there ever a thought to D'Amico Ryans benching him? It takes a lot for me to want to do that.
Especially in this stage.
Yeah, it feels like you're going to lose him more than anything down the road. It's always going to be on his resume that you benched him in the Super Bowl for Joshua Dobbs.
Right.
Like,
that would never go away.
Yeah, do you really want to put that scarlet letter on your young quarterback?
No.
A guy that you're building around, not a guy who's going to be gone next year.
Yeah, you want, especially after the game was kind of away from you, you let him try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Now maybe he gets hot and you show some of the magic that he had all season long and you come from nowhere. You're much better off hoping that happens than bringing in Josh Dobbs, who hasn't played the whole season, basically.
Bob is in Keyport. Good morning, Bob.
How are you, Evan?
What's up?
I just want to know why you didn't mention one word about what Fred Warner said by halftime.
What did he say at halftime?
Fred Warner said, right as the halftime report was going off screen, he said, looks like Drake May, the one seeing ghosts.
Damn it! Mm. He had it before me then, because I was after that. You know what? I didn't hear it. Bob, I give all the credit to Fred Warner then. Mm. I,